Okay, Alexander, let's talk about OPEC. And I'm going to read you first from CNBC and then from Forbes, actually. So let me read you from CNBC first. OPEC Plus fails to agree on massive supply cut, sending crude prices to 2017 lows. OPEC and non-OPEC allies failed on Friday to agree on how much oil production to cut amid the coronavirus outbreak, with Russia reportedly refusing to give the green light to the deepest supply cuts since the global financial crisis. And let me switch over to Forbes now. And the title on Forbes says, "Russia controls the oil market at OPEC today." The Organization of Petroleum Exporting Countries, OPEC, met yesterday. And today, the cartel is meeting with its broader partners, known as OPEC Plus. OPEC was united on its desire to cut oil production by an additional 1.5 million barrels per day. The hope is that these cuts will stabilize oil prices, which fell to their lowest levels in 2.5 years on Friday, amidst fears that oil demand is dropping due to coronavirus. But today, OPEC faces Russia, a non-OPEC member who, over the last 3 years, has managed to obtain for itself a practical veto power over OPEC decisions. Russia has become the second most powerful oil producer in the world. And this is not just because it is the second largest oil producer in the world. News out of Vienna meetings is that Russia does not want to cut oil production at all. Russia supposedly wants stimulus instead, though what that means is unclear. Saudi Arabia, the United Arab Emirates, and other key OPEC countries seem desperate for further cuts, in part because demand for their own oil is already declining, and in part because they want higher prices, but they must wait for Russia approval. OPEC, the powerful cartel that once caused global recession with higher prices and embargoes in the 1970s, is now at the mercy of a non-OPEC member. Russia is standing strong over OPEC and using its power to manipulate markets. In fact, as the standoff between OPEC and Russia played out on Friday, oil prices dropped by 8% at one point. Alexander.
Well, this is, of course, something that's been building up for some time. Now, there are three big oil producers in the world. These are the United States, which is now the world's biggest oil producer, Russia, which is the second biggest oil producer, and Saudi Arabia. And when we talk about OPEC, we need to be very clear that it is, in fact, Saudi Arabia and his friends. I mean, there are some countries like Iran, which are not friends of Saudi Arabia, that are, for historic reasons, members of OPEC. But it is Saudi Arabia that utterly dominates the oil cartel. Now, if you take your mind back 6 years, 5, 6 years, at the time of the Ukrainian price crisis, when oil prices fell dramatically in the summer of 2014, a lot of people at that time were saying that this was all a gang up between the United States and Saudi Arabia against Russia. And that in fact, the Saudis had increased their supply of oil and had arranged with the US to reduce the price of oil in order to hurt Russia as part of the sanctions war. I never believed that. And I think we have seen over the last 6 years where the real boot, if I could put it that way, lies. Who really has the strong cards? Russia has a diversified economy. There are constant misunderstandings about how important oil and gas and energy generally are to the Russian economy. It is consistently exaggerated. The best estimate I came across was that it accounts for, or the energy complex accounts for around 10% of Russian GDP. Saudi Arabia's is 40% plus. Russia has a strong manufacturing base. It also has a budget which is tightly controlled. It has large reserves and it has a floating exchange rate which adjusts continuously to changes in oil prices. Oil and gas are Russia's biggest export. but they're not its only export. It also exports agricultural products. It exports military materials. It's starting to export engineering products also. So Russia can absorb changes in oil prices. Saudi Arabia cannot, and it is finding it very difficult to adjust to prices when they fall, given the enormous ambitions that its leader, Mohammed bin Salman, has to develop Saudi Arabia using the oil wealth and to try to get, to continue to subsidize the Saudi Arabian social system in the way that it has traditionally been. Saudi Arabia also has a fixed currency system where the Saudi dinar is fixed to the dollar. So it doesn't have the kind of flexibility that Russia has. And what happened in 2016 is that the Saudis finally came to understand that. They finally started to negotiate with the Russians oil production cuts in order to stabilize the oil market, because they need higher oil prices far more than the Russians do. Now, this has created tensions within Russia. It has created tensions between the foreign ministry and Putin, who tend to value a good relationship with Saudi Arabia and are therefore willing to accept oil production cuts, and the Russian oil industry, which has historically always opposed them. Its attitude is that the oil market should be allowed to sort itself out, and that if production is maintained at current levels, oil prices will eventually adjust as excess demand is used up. So that's the Russian issue. Now, what the Russians have said this time is that they're not prepared to cut oil production to the extent that the Saudis want, because they're not convinced that the crisis with the coronavirus is going to be as prolonged as the Saudis think. They see a significant revival of production in China, industrial and manufacturing production in China, which they anticipate will lead to higher oil demand anyway. And what the Russians are saying is, let's wait a few months before we start going down the route of these very radical cutbacks in oil production that the Saudis want upon us. We have the fiscal leverage to be able to absorb low prices for a long time. I think the Russian finance minister said 4 years. The Saudis don't.
Well, maybe Saudi Arabia should not have started the war in Yemen.
Well, they shouldn't have started the war in Yemen. They shouldn't have pursued this grossly overambitious foreign policy they have. They also need to look at their own society and their own economy and start to carry out proper reforms, which, you know, are possible, which can adjust Saudi society to a world beyond oil. Now, that may mean changes in the Saudi political system, which is, of course, very difficult to do, given the kind of society that Saudi Arabia is. Russia is a market economy. It is able, as market economies can, to adjust very quickly to changes in the economic environment. That's what happened after 2014. It surprised many people, but the Russians have ample flexibility. And I happen to agree with them, by the way. I think I've always been skeptical about these oil production cuts that the Saudis have been insisting upon, and which have been, and they persuaded Russia to go along with up to now. I think that what this has done is that it's delayed the rebalancing of the oil market, which has to happen. I think the best solution to these sort of problems are market solutions. I think that trying to rig the market by artificially restricting production in countries like Saudi Arabia and Russia won't rebalance the oil market, if only because the other big oil producer, which is the United States, will always go on producing more and more oil in response to that. So I think, you know, let supply and demand work themselves out. It's always the correct way.
Yeah, but that's why you have a cartel. That's what a cartel is there to do, to manipulate the market. Yes. I mean, that's what its function is. And then you have OPEC, but you also have OPEC plus with Russia. Let me take you back to the Forbes article, Alexander, and just read you one sentence from that. Only Russia can bring those prices back. Only Russia can make a deal. Only Russia can give these powerful oil producers what they want. Russia holds all the cards. Alexander, why doesn't OPEC just do whatever it wants, make the cuts, and just let OPEC plus, i.e. Russia, do whatever it wants?
Well, the answer is, of course, that, you know, Saudi Arabia and OPEC can cut oil prices, but that won't, in fact, achieve the results they want, because Russia and the United States are now such big producers. A cartel can work if all the members of the cartel, if the cartel brings together all the people, all the important players. Back in the 1970s, in OPEC's heyday, OPEC dominated the oil market. It doesn't dominate it in the same way anymore. So that's why it needs Russia. It will never get the United States to agree to cuts in oil production. That is inconceivable. So it is forced to turn to Russia. Now, I'm going to make a prediction. I think what the Russians are doing is that they're letting OPEC sweat. I think eventually they will agree to an oil production cut, but they will demand political concessions.
Such as?
Well, I suspect what they will want is, firstly, they will want to see the Saudis increasing even further their purchases of Russian military equipment and all that sort of thing. But they will want to see movement on Iran and on Yemen, because they want to see a general stabilization of the situation in the Middle East. It won't be put directly as a quid pro quo, because that's not the way the Russians work. But they will make it very clear over the course of the next few days that at the present moment, they do want to see a reduction of tensions in the Middle East, a reduction of tensions between Saudi Arabia and Iran, and movement towards some kind of a reconciliation in Yemen. As I said, there's always this conflict between the Russian government and foreign ministry and Putin himself, who want to use oil as a leverage over the Saudis, and the Russian oil industry, which is basically fixed on its own commercial priorities. So the Russian oil industry doesn't want to cut. The government probably will agree to a cut and enforce it, but they will want to see movement from the Saudis first on a range of issues. And of course, Syria is always an important factor too.
What are they going to tell Saudi Arabia with regards to Syria?
Very quickly. Well, what they will say to Saudi Arabia is people like Al-Qaeda in Idlib province are still getting most of their money from Saudi Arabia. That's where it's coming from. And we want to see that stop, because these are terrorist groups.
Alexander McCurse, Editor-in-Chief of The Duran. Thank you very much. Guys, if you like this video, click on the subscribe button down below. Click on the notifications bell. Smash that like button. Check your subscription to our channel, because YouTube unsubscribes our viewers almost on a daily basis, it seems. We don't know why they do that, but they do it. Also go to PayPal, Patreon, and subscribe Star. Please donate to The Duran. Your donation helps keep this channel afloat. And go to The Duran shop and pick up some merchandise. Polo shirts, magic mugs, all kinds of good stuff. Alexander, you have a Lavrov magic mug there. And as you said, the foreign ministry and Putin on one side, the Russian oil companies on the other.
Absolutely. I mean, Russia is not a monolith, which is something that people ultimately misunderstand. But obviously, if the Kremlin, if the Russian government makes a final decision, the oil majors, the Russian oil majors, Rosneft and the others, Lukoil, will ultimately toe the line, because that's how Russia works. But the person who will be on the phone, and be very clear about this, he always is there. He was lurking in the background when Putin and Erdogan spoke to each other, is this man, who is the most experienced and the most capable foreign minister in the world, the arch realist and tremendous negotiator. And he is Sergei Lavrov. And this is one of my favorite mugs, because, of course, it has his picture on it, because I always think that this is the kind of foreign minister that ultimately I like. But, you know, if you don't want a mug, a magic mug with Lavrov's picture on them, you should go to our shop, because there's heaps of others. I think Alex is drinking from another magic mug as I'm speaking at the moment, with the Alpha Force logo on it. That's the coat of arms of Russia's elite, most elite special forces unit, also active in Syria, of that I've no doubt, by the way. And of course, these are magnificent magic mugs. Beautiful porcelain. I've had my magic mugs now for around a year, perhaps a bit more than that. They are in perfect condition. They don't crack, chip, or break. There's no discoloration. They literally look as good as new. And as I said on the earlier in another program, I've discovered that you can microwave your tea or coffee in them, and the handle remains cold. How magical is that? Not something, though, I would advise you to do, because it ruins the coffee, certainly, and it doesn't do much good to the tea. So it isn't just magic mugs that we have in our shop. We have amazing polo shirts, as Alex said, and as I am wearing at the moment. You can see that he's got the Durand double-headed eagle there. You can see that Alex's T-shirt has the Durand double-headed eagle also. Different, by the way, from the Russian double-headed eagle. It's our own double-headed eagle, with the eagle pointing to the east and the west as it monitors and observes everything that happens everywhere in the world. And these are wonderful polo shirts, incredibly comfortable, very stylish. They look great, they feel great, they're 100% cotton, they're very durable and hard wearing. And we've also got lots of other shirts. We've got t-shirts, both short-sleeved and long-sleeved. We've got V-neck shirts, we've got hats, hoodies, and stickers. And we've also got ebooks on things like Russiagate, Ukrainegate, Epstein, Brexit. You can find them all in our shop. And as Alex rightly says, you support us by going to the shop. You can buy these great things for yourself, and you can support the Durand too. So don't hold back. Come to our shop, buy yourself these great things, support the Durand. Alex will tell you how.
Just go to thedurandshop.com. You'll find a link in the description box down below. Alexander Mercuris, thank you very much. Till next time, everybody, take care.